The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Ian Guider from the Business Post is with us, and a very interesting set of results today out from Ryanair for the first quarter of its financial year, which runs to the end of June. Things not going nearly as well as many people might have expected. Tell us about this.
It most certainly isn't, and there will be implications for this across the rest of the airline industry. Ryanair, as you said, coming out with quarterly financial results today, covering the beginning of April to the start of June, so the beginning of the key travel season. On first glance, the numbers look okay. The number of passengers it carried over that three-month period, up 10% to more than 55 million people. But from there, it goes downhill, because to tempt people to fly, it's flying more routes than ever over that period. It had to slash average fares by around 15%, and the amount of money it takes in on ancillary services, so people checking in bags or people booking priority seats, that fell by around 10%. So when you add in all of that together, Matt, revenue for that three-month period fell by 1% to 3.6 billion euro, but its pre-tax profits, because of all the extra costs it's had to absorb by higher fuel prices, more staff, higher airport charges, that meant profits fell by almost 50%, down to 360 million euro. The share price of Ryanair today crashing by around 17% at the close. That's about 2 billion euro wiped off Ryanair's value. And the reason for that wasn't just the poor first quarter of its financial year, it was the outlook for the rest of the summer and on into winter. Normally at this time of year, airlines have more demand than there are supply, so therefore they're able to charge more, they're able to make more money. Ryanair saying, well, actually, instead of our forecast of average fares being flat or slightly higher, actually, we're still having to cut ticket prices, so their revenue over the next couple of months will be a little bit softer. Their profitability, they didn't give a forecast, but lots of stock market analysts who cover Ryanair's results, they said today that they do expect its profits over the key period to be well below what they had made this time last year. And the outlook for the next couple of months, well, Michael O'Leary gave several interviews today and did various calls with stock market analysts, said it was just too early to give a forecast as to how much money it would make. But last year, it made around 2 billion euro in profits after tax. He said right now, it was just far too early. They're absorbing lots of extra capacity. They added new routes, about 200 new routes added across Europe. Therefore, with prices going down, they just couldn't give any meaningful guidance. Share price, as I said, was down. And because people look at Ryanair, the biggest of the discount airlines in Europe, well, what does that mean for the rest of the travel industry?
And not just the travel industry, you know, because could this be a little bit of a canary in the coal mine in relation to overall consumer spending? That people, having maybe spent a lot of money after COVID, have now maybe run out of money to spend?
Yeah, there was an awful lot of people who had savings during COVID because, of course, they were working at home, nowhere to spend money. I think what you're seeing here, Matt, is many companies in the hospitality industry, be it hotels, airlines, they decided to put up prices. Yes, their costs were higher, fuel in particular for airlines, but in the rest of the hospitality and travel industry, energy rates went up, labor costs went up, so they all put their prices up. But what they have been met with is a consumer who still wants to travel, still wants to go away, still wants to go on holidays domestically, but just can't afford the prices that are being charged. And they're saying, well, you know what, we're not going for as long as we wanted to go for, or we're putting the holiday off until the off season. And I think that will be the big thing that will put a lot of fear into people's minds in the tourism industry. I have heard, Matt, that some people were very concerned about the number of US visitors coming to Ireland, that it's been very expensive getting flights across the Atlantic, also that hotel prices were putting off some people. We'll have to see in the next little while when we get results from the likes of Aer Lingus owner IAG as to whether that bears fruit. But I think there will be an awful lot of people in the hospitality, travel, wider tourism and leisure industry looking at this and thinking, perhaps we put our prices up too much and we are meeting consumers who, because of inflation and the cost of living crisis, just can't afford to pay it anymore.
Now, tell us about the change of ownership of Kildare Village Shopping Centre.
Yes, Matt. Well, Kildare Village is owned by Hammerson, which is a big UK property company that is best known in Ireland as the owner of the Dundrum Town Centre, the ILAC Centre and the Pavilion in Swords. Well, today it's announced that it has sold its stake in the Kildare Village retail outlet and a further 9 similar retail villages across the UK and Europe for around £600 million. The owner is a company called Caterham, which is associated with LVMH, which is the world's biggest luxury goods brands behind the likes of Moët, Louis Vuitton, various other brands. They have bought control of these 9 retail centres across Europe, including the Kildare Village here in Ireland. And I think for the likes of Hammerson, they'll be looking at this and saying, well, lots of our competitors are getting out of retail. We talked about the sale of the Square Shopping Centre in Tallaght, the Blanchardstown Centre, that they are struggling to find buyers. Well, Hammerson have done this deal and they'll be looking at that and thinking, well, we've actually managed to find a good partner here in the likes of Caterham, and they've paid a very good price from that. And Hammerson are saying today that that's €600 million. It doesn't just cover Kildare Village, it covers all those other companies that have been using that money to return some of it to their investors.
And briefly, the Taoiseach Simon Harris on Friday made a speech talking about a new Minister for Infrastructure if Fine Gael are returned to government. I see today when it comes to infrastructure, Dublin Port is seeking permission to spend €1.1 billion for development of the Poolbeg Peninsula, including building a new bridge over the River Liffey. If we're heading towards a population of 7 million people, how important is it that we do things like upgrading the port, investing in Irish Water, air grid and many other things?
Oh yeah, and they are running out of capacity down in Dublin Port, and the whole idea behind this master plan, which they've talked about for a number of years now, is that you're going to add around 20% of extra capacity through Dublin Port for exports. It will take some of the vehicles that are currently going across the north side of the quays, push them onto the south side. That's why you're going to need a new bridge and all the associated facilities, a new load on, load off container freight area, a whole new area for boats coming in. There'll be some public elements to this, Matt, but Dublin Port, it is so big in this country. I know lots of people have said, why can't we move it down to Rosslare or move it up to the likes of Drogheda? It would cost just so much. As it is, Dublin Port say this facility, if it gets the green light from planners, will cost around €1.1 billion. By contrast, if you were to move Dublin Port, lock, stock and barrel, it would cost 10 to 15 times that amount. So we do need to get infrastructure correct in this country, and we do need to do it well. And Dublin Port have worked on this for a long time. It will be a huge investment over many, many years. And I've said to you, Matt, if we are going to continue to grow the country the way we are, reliant on exports, a lot of it physical exports of pharmaceuticals, chemicals, food, drinks, we need more port capacity. And when this is done over the next 10, 15, 20 years, after that, there's nowhere else for Dublin Port to go unless you go out into the Dublin Bay area.
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, columnist with the Business Post.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.